Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Bruins are back at home. Brad Marchand was back at his former home, and our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft is back with us in studios. Razor is brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Razor, how we doing?
Wonderful, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, bud.
My snarky answer? Better than the Bruins the last time. I mean, pretty sure they haven't added a point since the last time we talked.
I was feeling so good last time I was
there. Yeah, I was too. I was calling Marco Sturm my guy and this team, and I was ripping our producer Dan Ball, who told me this team was going to have all these issues. They were 3-0. So before we get into Marchand and some of the details, back in my writing days, I learned sometimes when you're writing a feature, just ask an open-ended question and see where it goes.
All right.
What's wrong with the Bruins?
Okay. So...
Ooh, how long
directly,
you got, huh?
Right to the point, too. What's interesting at this point in time, going into the season, everyone, who's going to score? Who's going to score? Yeah. Where are the goal? That's not the issue.
Stopping the puck seems to be an
issue at times. Correct. The defense is the issue, and that is, I guess, you look at the glass half full, that should be the easiest thing to fix, but glass half empty is that's a problem. Because that's what this team was built on. This team was supposed to be good in one goal games. This team was supposed to find a way to hang in and close out games. We didn't see that in Utah. We did not see that against the Florida Panthers. We didn't see that against Tampa. So four of the last five games that they've lost are all one goal games. NHL overtime is so vital for teams. If you get into overtime two of those games, which is very easy to do, especially blowing the Florida one last night.
Yeah.
And then finding a way Utah-Tampa to get into overtime. Now you're a game over 500. Now you're two games over 500. And now everything's fine. You're not even worried about it. We're not talking about it. So back to your initial question. For me, it's all about the defense. The 5-on-5 defense is 26th in the league. Their PK's been good. The power play's been good enough. They've scored goals. Their defense isn't good enough.
So is part of that Charlie McAvoy? He's one of your highest paid players, and it feels like for me this goes back to even before the Four Nations. I didn't think he was playing his best hockey then. Then the injury muddies everything. Mm-hmm. But is he part of the problem, not the solution right now?
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as the problem. I mean, he's playing 27 minutes a night. A big problem is Hampus Lindholm not in the lineup again. They're 3-0. They're 2-0 with him in the lineup. Mm. I don't think that's a coincidence that they're losing without him. And to your point about Charlie McAvoy, I'll bring it back to Charlie, is he's got to play 27 minutes now. That's a lot of hockey. You have to pace yourself. You have to play a little bit differently. You can't be as physical. You can't go chase and hit guys when you have to pace to play half of the game rather than playing 21 minutes, which then you can push your shifts a little bit further. You can take a little bit more risk. 27, you're kind of managing your time out there, and that's the difference with Lindholm in and Lindholm out for Charlie McAvoy. Defensive zone faceoffs, you're taking more of those rather than just off it. Like, there's lots of different areas where Hampus relieves some pressure from Charlie, and I think that's where you're kind of seeing Charlie not be able to go a little extra and be a little flashier out there.
And Andrew, is that the most disheartening thing kind of about how the season started off? Because the, you know, Cam was basically saying this is going to be a tough team. We're going to be hang our hat on our defense. We're going to pack it in. We're going to make it hard for teams to score on us. And yet it's been the complete opposite, right? And it's, you know, for what you were kind of having as your bread and butter, and it for it to not even come close to meeting those standards, it's got to be kind of a blow, right?
Yes, it has to be. I especially for Marco Sturm, who that's all he's talked about since the day he's going to bring structure. He's going to bring discipline. He's going to bring a defensive structure there. And that the discipline has him. They've taken a ton of penalties. They took a ton of penalties on the road. Good thing the PK has been as good as it's been, because it's been very, very taxed, and they've got themselves out of big jams with it. I think it's got to be frustrating for them, because, again, that's the easy thing to do, to play hard, to play in the proper structure, to play in the proper place, and not give up easy goals. They've given up easy goals, and that's really the worst thing you can say about a team in the National Hockey League.
You know, Razor, I'm curious, you mentioned, you know, the penalty kills and all the penalties. What is the philosophy about penalty? Are there some penalties that coaches really, they don't mind because they're aggressive? I mean, but when you start to see all these penalties, is there a point in which you say, okay, guys, we got to clean this up, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's hockey. You're going to take penalties. It's not like you're going to have a perfect game. You're looking at three or four. If you won a period, you kill off, that's fine. It's when you get into six and you have to do it twice, and you have to do one every 10 minutes, which is 20% of the action, which you start breaking down ice time. David Pasternak's not on the ice for 20 minutes of a period right out of the gates because he's not killing a pit. The rhythm that it takes out of your game when you get to six rather than three and a half, four. That's kind of the sweet spot. But to the other point is the neutral zone, the offensive zone, the lazy stick plays, the fact you're doing it off of a turnover. Those are the ones that hurt you as well. There's enough hard penalties that you can take that you're okay with killing, but some of the ones the Bruins have taken the last week and a half have been ones that are unnecessary.
Razor, this is literally your area of expertise, and I think you probably were assuming you'd get some Swayman questions. When I look at him, and he's ranked, I think, 36th or 5th in goals against average, I know you're telling me the D isn't good enough. The D needs to be better. How much better does he need to be? Like, how much is Swayman apart? Because I think there were people like me that were frustrated after last season that were kind of giving him that fresh start, and it started the year okay, and now it's like, okay, we had one of those plus 5 goal games and those things. Like, where's Jeremy Swayman right now?
Yeah, so I'll give you some analytics here.
Let's go.
Just to
I love
make
them.
Sure that this is the number that everyone were. This is the goalie number.
Okay.
Beyond, I could go a little deeper if you like for an NHL team, but this is essentially the easiest goalie number, and that's goals saved above expected.
Okay.
So you're wiping out the save percentage and goals against. That's very team oriented. So goals saved above expected, Jeremy Swayman's 11th in the league. He's at 3.4 goals saved above expected. For reference on that, Igor Shesterkin's leading the league at 8.9.
So two follow-up questions on that then.
Yeah.
One, I believe I saw this previously. So you're not the first to bring it to me. I'm a football guy, but I've seen this stuff. I think he was like -9 last year.
Yes.
It was really bad last year.
Yeah, No, and I would have used that. If he was 35th, right now, I'd be using that as well.
Okay.
Because it is an important number. It's a really important number for how you can really understand how a goaltender's... It's the closest to being pretty good, I guess.
So what?
Because, again, I always go back to it, guys. It's circumstance. And I think I've talked to you about this before. Like, the margin between having a 900, especially early on, right? The numbers get so skewed 8 games into a season because you give up one goal is going to be, you know, 3/10 of a point off your save percentage. It really does get skewed.
So your number, I forgot what you called it already. What
goals
it?
Saved above expected. It's pretty simple if you think goals saved above expected or below expected.
So better than
he's not going to learn the name. I'll just break that one.
Yeah,
now.
That is a problem with me. Is this better than an average goal? Sort of explain to me exactly what it means.
Yeah. So you're okay. So they're 11th. He's 11th out of the league. It goes all the way down to 65 guys in the league. Linus Allmark, for reference, is 64th in the league at minus 7.4 goals saved above expected. So we'll bring that back. Who's better? I mean, right now, you know, that's an easy one. But so again, it's early in the season. You have a great game tonight as a goaltender. You post a shutout. That's gonna jump you into the top 10. But I guess I just want to. It's just a reference point of it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good from the goaltenders for the Bruins.
This team was, again, to go back to Cam, kind of his opening preseason presser, talking about it's going to be tough, it's going to be gritty. I don't know if I'm seeing that, and I'm wondering, is that something that are who they are at this point, or can they evolve to get grittier, tougher? Is it something that you can work on throughout the season, or this is who they are, and we got to love the ones we're with kind of thing?
Well, I think what's happened in the last 6 days is you've played a couple of teams that have no interest and no sandpaper at all in Colorado and Utah on the road. You can't really muster too much up against them because you're just going to be in the box. They really don't have a lot of guys that are on the other side. We saw Florida the other night. Two teams. Florida's pretty injured. Boston's coming off the road. They're trying to manufacture energy. Kastelic gets into a fight, but they really only had Gajewicz on the other side. The Bruins have a few more guys. But, and this is a big but, because they are going to have to do it themselves. They're going to have to manufacture it. They're going to have to take it another step forward. I think they're a little passive, which happens when you lose 3, 4, 5 games in a row. I think of guys like Janot, Isimont, that they didn't get into the game the other night. They're going to have to get into the game early tonight, and they have to be better. That's the culture they're trying to bring. That's the team identity that they're trying to have. And so the direct question is, you can do that a little bit as a team. Sometimes it's out of your control. Sometimes you don't want to be chasing, but they have to be more hard to play against.
So grammatically, you bring up culture. Like we say vibes a lot. We've talked a lot about Red Sox early in the year. Like, this team seems like it's got a vibe post Devers or the Patriots. You know, Vrabel cleans out the leadership, and it's like, he put together some vibes here, and they're winning in both those teams. What would you say the vibes around this hockey team are right now?
Yeah, they're not dire by any means. They're nothing like they were, you know, post Four Nations last year, or post Jim Montgomery getting fired, post Christmas. I get the sense that they feel like they're close. I get the sense that they feel like they've been in these games. I think a good way to measure those vibes, and I do think culture is a different word than vibes. Culture is kind of more long-term or the big picture, where those vibes can, especially in the NHL, maybe even more so than football and baseball, can be like day-to-day or week-to-week. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that you can look at as a Bruin fan and feel good about the vibes is the fact that they've battled in all these games. They were up. They were down 2-0 to Florida. They came back. They get the 6-on-5. Like, that's a backbreaker. Like, that is, Andrew Peak could do that 100 million times, and that would never happen again, right? So, but they fought through that. They fight through being down 3 goals against Vegas and keep themselves in the third period. Same thing, Tampa Bay. They're down 4-1 at home, afternoon game. That would have been 7 or 8-1 last year. So I don't think the vibes are horrible, but they certainly need a break. They need something good to happen to themselves tonight to feel good, to be able to move and take that vibe that you're talking about to the next level against a good team Saturday afternoon.
Let's go back to last week. I just want to get your thoughts on Brad Marchand's return. Just what did you think of the night, how they honored him? And, you know, do you wish things would have been different and they just paid him and he was still a Bruin? What's your thoughts on that, Andrew?
Yeah, it's certainly, it would have been nice to, you're always going to think of him as a Bruin. I think hindsight, I think it was pretty cool for hockey and for the story of hockey for him to have gone to Florida and end up winning a cup and almost get a Conn Smythe. And for him, that legacy, what that means to him and where that puts him among hockey greats is next level. Certainly.
So his legacy went to another level what happened.
Yeah,
last year.
It did. That playoff run, what he was on, was ridiculous. If it wasn't for Sam Bennett, he's the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, which nobody would have put two ducats on at the start of last season.
And Tkachuk was out for a lot of those games, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was hurt. What he was in,
right.
He had the he's not playing until Christmas or after Christmas because of that. So he carried that team in a big way and changed their vibe and gave them something different. I think the other night we saw that he's always going to be a Bruin. Paul Maurice, the Florida Panthers coach, talked as much as that. Like, even though he's on our team, he's still a Boston Bruin. We're all going to think of him. He's going in the Hall of Fame with a Bruins hat. His number's going to the rafters. I thought it was a great tribute. I think we see how emotional Brad is just in general and why that's he's such a great player, but how much the Boston Bruins mean to him. So it was nice. I think they did a good job with that, and Brad did a great job being an ambassador.
Did anything, he did a lot of talking and a lot of crying, and there was emotion, there was a lot of clips.
Yeah.
Did anything he said surprise you? There was an interesting one we played from the first period intermission where they asked him on ESPN, do you have any regrets?
Yeah.
And I, like they did, took it as, that's the first time I've ever been asked. I thought it was sarcasm. Uh-huh. And apparently it was the first time he's been asked if he had regrets. And he had a lot of words, and then he said he had regret but wouldn't go back kind of thing. Did anything in anything that he talked about surprise you?
Well I was gonna reference that one because that was probably the most interesting take or interesting bite, just talking about, because that was really the first time that he had talked about the actual negotiation with the Bruins, right? Like, we didn't really get a lot of insight on that. It just came down, oh, we couldn't get a deal done. That's really, which is what you always hear in these kinds of situations. No one really gets the full scoop. So that was interesting to hear, just kind of him talking about, and you have to deduce that he was upset with the offer and they were upset with his reaction to the offer.
Right.
And he might have changed that a little bit, and they might have changed that. That's what happened.
Someone said F you and someone said F you.
Correct.
Not hard to figure out.
You know, and now he signs a 6-year deal, and you know, pretty obvious the Bruins were never giving him a 6-year deal. That was impossible to do here. So I thought that was interesting. I just think I think the way he acted, the way he was so thankful and so appreciative to the Bruins organization, I think that explains, like, he touched on the emotion, but I think he got over it. I think everybody got over it pretty quickly, which means that it wasn't nearly as hostile as maybe was made out at the time, and it wasn't as much of an FU at the time as it was. It kind of got down to the point where they both realized they were at the end of the rope, and it was probably better to do it now than wait till the summer.
There's some people who think, you know, his comments, I always feel like he's conflicted because he doesn't know. He's happy to be on there, but he misses here, so he doesn't really know. But do you think some people would think his comments would reflect a willingness or a desire to eventually come back here and be a part of the front office someday? Do you feel that might be the case?
Yeah, you have to imagine. Like, again, Zdeno Chara went a few different places when he left, and he's back, and his number's going up to the right. Like, I could see a similar scenario where that his family's here, his wife's from this area, so you have to imagine that he'll be back in this area. And if he wanted to, I can't imagine an organization anywhere in the NHL that wouldn't want his experience now, his way and his culture and his character. I mean, you imagine that guy in a front office, you're going to get the honest answer on everything all of the time.
Is that a common thing in the NHL? I wish the NFL would invite its former players back to help with front office stuff, but it's a totally different deal. Does the NHL...
He's angling for a job.
Do they welcome back guys?
It's more and more. I think more so than anything. Like, when I played, guys just didn't want anything to do with media. They didn't want anything to do with hockey. They're just like, all right, it was just so much harder. Okay, football was so much harder in 2000 than it is in 2025.
Preach, my man.
Pro sports was just so hard, and we all couldn't wait to get out of it and never look back.
Yep.
I think that's changed now. You see it with all the media guys. You've got TJ Oshie jumping right back in. You got Eric Johnson jumping back in national TV. That never would have happened 25 years ago. It's the backup goalies that need to keep working or need to take a job. So that's changing, and I think a lot of guys want to get back in. They want to stick around the game, and I think organizations are seeing how valuable it is to have those eyes on their players and to be able to pass some of that through it. And also the players that are doing it are willing to learn about analytics and worry about video and all of those things too.
All right, Razor, before we let you go, our guy Dan Ball, our producer, he's a hockey guy, brought to my attention something yesterday that I found eye-opening. And
oh, boy.
Well, we've talked about how, like, the Patriots get all the attention and sort of the differentiation. We all know what it is.
Yeah.
And we all know Bill Belichick's track record drafting and how much attention it got on as the dynasty petered out and all that. Dan Ball, and his number's not mine, so if they're wrong, yell at him. Since 2021, the Bruins have drafted 29 players.
Okay.
Zero of them are on the current Bruins team.
Okay.
A team that's rebuilding or whatever you want to call this. How do you explain that, and what does that say about this organization?
Well, so 2021's not that long ago, number one, when it comes to drafting players. 2021, that's 4 years. So that means those kids at most, at the oldest, are 22.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not drafting NFL, Bill Belichick's drafting 22, 23-year-old kids. You're drafting 18-year-old kids, number one. Number two, I love Dan's numbers on the percentage of players that get drafted to the NHL and play 100 games in the National Hockey League. And
I don't think he has that available right now.
We can pull it up. It's 6-7%.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's the number's crazy, right? Wow. You have seven rounds. You have 220 kids get drafted every year. There might be 12 guys that play 100 games out of those 200. Like, it's 200 games. So yeah. I guess my answer is I would hold off on the 2021. That's kind of cherry picking because my guess is 2020 is like Mason Lowry or like you can move into these numbers a little bit. Again, 4 years ago is not long when you're drafting 18-year-old kids. You have to let it go. But I understand this point. Fabian Lysell didn't kick. He's leading Providence in scoring for a couple games. He's still down there. But no, it has to be better. James Haggins has to work, right? They got a guy seventh overall. It has to work. They have to have the Ehlers. Some of these guys kick. The Patras come back. So I'm not making any excuses for them. I would just say it's a dangerous number, just 4 years. There's a lot of time in these guys still.
All right, so Ducks tonight?
Ducks are good.
Are they going to wear those sweet orange jerseys?
Yeah.
They have some. Are they?
They're legit. That's all they're wearing now.
Oh, my God.
They only have. So they'll have one. They're on the road, so they'll have the white ones. They'll have the white ones.
The orange and those are sweet.
Yeah, the creamsicle.
What's your favorite jersey?
It's a sweater. We're being
I love Blackhawks. Rangers 100 years, really solid. You can't beat the original six, right? Toronto, Montreal, Detroit. Detroit's pretty awesome.
Do you have a favorite that you wore?
I was like Boston, Toronto. I love Vancouver, the blue Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Blue
Vancouver's
pretty sharp.
A lot of people's favorite.
Those are good colors.
I like the black
Dallas one. Wasn't that good, but no, the original six is really hard to beat. But for the kid, like the Anaheim one, they've done a good job kind of switching out the duck, but keeping the duck and now going orange.
Yeah, they gave out masks the other day.
Yeah, that was cool.
Those orange, those were sick.
Yeah, they were sick.
Like usually you get like a cheap towel or a t-shirt. You're like, you got that mask? That was a sweet giveaway.
And you can't throw the mask on the ice. Stanley Cup the Bruins gave out.
That is true. So what's going to happen tonight?
Bruins are going to pull this one out. 4-2, empty. 4-2 all around. 4-2 all around. I don't know what's going to happen Saturday with Colorado coming in, but they're going to get a win tonight.
Okay, you need a fresh start because I think last time it was they were going to get 3 points on the West Coast trip.
Yeah,
that was the hope.
They did not.
That was brutal. No,
was
they didn't. I should have said two, and I would have been closer. But
it would have been closer. Three, still not close. Right, but
still
you would have been
close.
Yeah. All right, Razor, we appreciate you stopping
Thanks,
by.
Bud.
As always, it's awesome. We'll talk to you next week.
Tonight.
I will, bud. All right. Thanks, man.
Andrew Razor Raycroft here with WEEI Afternoons. Coming up next, we will return with something. Chad Graff has the Patriots trade targets. And they might not be what you want or what I want, but apparently he's hearing things, what they're targeting down in Foxborough. That's up next here on WEE.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Afternoons. That was Colin Cowherd giving his power rankings with your New England Patriots in the top 10. A lot of people have them knocking on the door. I saw Tom Brady, I think, has them at 9. They're finding their way into
eight.
That. Or 8. 8.
Above his Raiders, huh?
Ooh. Well, they got to be.
Just barely 10.
Yeah. But your Patriots are getting some national attention. And Mike Vrabel was asked a couple weeks ago, does your record and where you are, first place in the division, number 2 seed in the AFC, does your standing affect the trade deadline? He kind of poo-pooed the idea, but I think a lot of people are now sniffing around like, you're a pretty good team. You should want to add depth or fill holes. So that brings us to Chad Graff in The Athletic, who writes, so far in what might come as a surprise, the Patriots have made more calls about defensive players than offensive ones, according to a league source. They've been pleased, Fitzy, with their wide receivers and have given them, and while they might eventually need more depth at running back behind Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson, they're pleased with those two. As the deadline nears, look for the Patriots to consider adding more help on defense, specifically looking for outside linebackers who can provide depth as pass rushers on the edge. So, Fitzy, I agree that depth on the edge is an issue. We've talked about it. When Harold Landry went down a couple weeks ago, it was like, oh, yeah, if he's gone, you got a problem. But are you surprised that they are? Because I think a lot of us, Ted, I know you've brought up Breece Hall. I famously brought up Derrick Henry. There's a lot of running backs supposedly could be available. Fitzy, are you a little surprised that they're not looking to add depth to the backfield?
Yes. I would say my prioritization of depth additions for the Patriots would be I would go running back, then I'd go cornerback, then I'd go either defensive end or linebacker, because if Ramondre goes down, all of a sudden Travion Henderson's just going to suddenly figure out, like, this is the opportunity I've been waiting for. Like, the guy is still thinking too much and not reacting and playing with his God-given ability. And we all saw what this defense looks like when Christian Gonzalez goes down. Not to say you're going to go find a spare Gonzo out there someplace, Andy, but you need cornerback depth, especially with the way we've talked so much about how physically Marcus Jones, who's becoming more invaluable by the week, plays.
Yeah, he doesn't do the Charlie McAvoy. He is not monitoring his reps, Marcus Jones. He's a guy that plays physical. He doesn't avoid a hit.
I love it.
I love it,
he's
too.
He's so physical for the size. He will hit you. It doesn't matter how big you are, and he's not a big guy. And I got a lot of respect for that kid.
I do, too. I just don't love that I don't really feel like I'm have a lot of faith in whoever his backup is. Like, they have three corners. And then the next ones, you start to wonder, are they ready to
see the
field?
We remember those first two games with Alex Austin getting penalties.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's not great. So here are Chad Graff's targets. And I'll read the whole list, and then maybe we can chime in on guys we like or don't like. And yes, Ted Johnson, Breece Hall, is on the list. But Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson is one of, obviously, the top targets in all of football if the Bengals move on from him. He's a guy that led the NFL in sacks.
34 sacks last 2 years.
That's ridiculous. Obvious why you'd want him. Dolphins defensive end Jalen Phillips. Titans defensive end Draymond Jones. Titans defensive end Arden Key. I notice a trend here. A lot of defensive ends that they are targeting. Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown. Everybody loves that idea, Fitzy. I know you do. Raiders wide receiver Jacoby Myers.
Yes.
I know you love that idea. Titans cornerback Jalen Armar Davis. And notice there's a bunch of Titans on this list. I wonder where that idea comes from. Could be, I don't know, Mike Vrabel. Jets running back Breece Hall and Browns running back Jerome Ford, who they will see on Sunday. So, Fitzy, if that were the list, do you think, first of all, do you think it's a realistic list? Or is this, I don't want to accuse Chad Graff of doing anything, but I've also done blogs
in my day. And sometimes when you include a name like Trey Hendrickson or A.J. Brown, it gets read more than if you just include names no one's ever heard of. Do you think there's any chance the Patriots are on the higher end of this list?
No, I think they're going to be. I think the high end of it, and this is the guy that I've wanted for a long time. I've been a fan ever since they drafted him. I love Jalen Phillips out of Miami, and I think Miami could potentially part ways with him. You'd only have to give up a mid-round pick. I know he's coming off the ACL, but you'd have a first crack at maybe keeping him around for a while. I think he'd be a great fit. Long, lean, mean, perfect guy to add to this rotation if you're going to add to the front part of the line.
That would be right up the Patriots' alley. They want a distressed asset they can get on the cheap, value, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Trey Hendrickson never is coming here. He's too expensive. No way. Yep. His age, please. That's not going to happen. But I do – they have been kind of living on the edge. Knock on wood, they've kind of avoided major injuries.
100%.
Like, and we always say, like, this is a good – this is a solid team on defense if they don't get injured.
Right.
But, I mean, how long can they go without, you know, getting some injuries here and there that are going to impact this defense? And this defense, I think we all feel, is good, but, I mean, they've been playing some cupcakes. I don't think they're elite, even though they had 5 sacks. Please look at the team they just got it in. It's so I don't know if this defense is good enough to match what the offense has been doing. So I would be all for getting defense help if you can. So a guy like a Jalen Phillips, I go, okay, yeah, you know, he's got a little history with injuries. He'll come cheaper. That I could see them doing that. But I'm also not opposed to them getting a Jacoby Myers or Breece Hall either. Well, you know what? They got a pretty cool offense. Why not soup up? It's like, we got a nice car. Let's give it, you know, a little wing. You know, give it a little some eyebrows. Give it some eyelashes. Let's make it look a little fancier. You could almost boost the offense too. So I hope they do something because I think they're the buy-in from the fan base. There's a fervor for this team, and I think even though most teams never make deals, I think the Patriots would be advantageous if they did because I think it would be a signal to the fan base that they're all in this year.
So, Fitzy, offense, I like the idea of adding to it because I don't think what they're doing is sustainable. But my one question is, and I've overused this word a lot over the last 6 or 8 months of sports talk radio, but the vibes on the offense seem really good in the wide receiver room, the whole thing. The linemen love the backs, and the backs love the linemen, and all the receivers love each other, and none are bitching like they were just a year ago. Mm-hmm. Do you risk the chance? Certainly with A.J. Brown, you risk the chance.
A.J. Brown would be risking, yeah.
And even Jacoby Myers, he's a guy that's used to catching 85 balls a year, 90 balls a year. Like, that's
still fun place. I think he would. But go ahead, Fitzy. Go ahead.
No, I'm with you, Ted, that Jacoby Myers would. I think he'd be so happy to find himself back in a place where he didn't want to leave in the first place. And then also in a winning situation that he would fall in line. I don't see any offense in the NFL, let alone this one that he's so familiar with, that he wouldn't suddenly fit into. If you want to add something truly dynamic, Breece Hall, obviously, absolute home run. I still like Kamara. I don't know if he's going to be made available. He's not been in the rumor mill or the swirl of trade populations recently. But, yeah, I mean, you're right, Andy. You do not want to upset the delicate balance of this offense. But if you also want to make sure that you get deep in the playoffs or, God forbid, sell more merchandise and make a legit Super Bowl run, you could use a home run hitter.
617-779-7937. What do you think of the potential trade targets for the New England Patriots? Would you be hunting for a big fish, big game, or are you looking to just add a little depth on defense? Let's squeeze in a phone call here. Let's go to Pauly in Dedham. What's up, Pauly?
Hey, Pauly.
Hey, what's happening? Teddy, hope you're feeling better, brother.
A little bit. Thanks, bud. I'm glad to be back at work.
All right, man. You know, my soulmate, rest his soul, from Melrose. It's a great town.
Great town, bud.
A lot of class people there, man. I tell you, it's my favorite town in Massachusetts, let's say that. But anyway, I like Travion Henderson. I've been talking about him all summer. I go get him if you can, but I thought the price would be coming down. I thought Cincinnati was getting in the middle of a collapse. They seem to, with Burrow's going up, but they stabilized. The price is going back up. So I'm kind of shifting and going to, I'm more looking at linebacker now and safety. You know, outside linebacker, if you can kill two birds with one stone and get a guy that can play linebacker cover, you know, and rush the passer, but that'd be a home run. And I really think they need a safety, you know, a real field general out there in center field to solidify that secondary. And On offense, we need an offensive. We need a left guard badly.
Thanks for the call, Paulie. We have a young left guard. He didn't play last week, so I understand why you'd be looking for some depth at left guard. When he said offensive line, I thought he was going to say you need a backup tackle because you're getting by with Moses and Will Campbell. Mm-hmm. Yep, a swing tackle. Lord only knows what happens there. 617-779-7937. Who would you target on the trade market if you were the Patriots? But up next here, Drake May has a chance to make more history, rewrite the record books yet again, but he does it against the Browns, the best defense in the NFL, the best defense the Patriots will face this year, Mike Vrabel said. A little Drake May versus Cleveland's defense talk up next here on WEEI Afternoon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
That was Drake May at his press conference at Gillette Stadium yesterday. I thought that was a really interesting answer for him to acknowledge that, yeah, it kind of goes against my playmaking instincts to slide and get down and get out of harm's way. And I extrapolated for that with the question with Tom Curran. I think it also goes against his instincts to throw.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.